All right. I'm going to adjust this a little bit. We'll go and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, if you have your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your many blessings. Lord, I pray that you'd please help me not to get in the way of your word, Lord. Help me not to be a hindrance in my speech or in how I present things, Lord. Lord, I pray that your word would speak for itself, Lord, that you'd please work on hearts, Lord, that you'd please show this truth, Lord, that you'd please help us, Lord, not to be distracted by outside factors, Lord, but to focus on your word and what it is that you're trying to teach us tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd please guide and direct. Please help me not to say things that I should not say, Lord. Lord, and direct me to say the things that I should, Lord. I pray that you'd be preeminent tonight, Lord, not just prominent, Lord, but that you would take first place in our lives, Lord. Help us to be drawn closer to you through this. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if I were to give a title to tonight's message, it'd be Ability, Disability, and Opportunity. Ability, Disability, and Opportunity. So in the verse we just read, it says, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. So in our lives, we have natural God-given abilities. It plainly says it right there in the verse. God gives us abilities. He gives us things that we can do, things that we're better at, things that we have the strength to do, the know-how to do, the qualifications to do, and God expects us to use them. In the verse, it says that if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. So when we're ministers, we think of that word frequently nowadays as a pastor, but it isn't exclusively for a pastorate role. A minister is someone who's doing God's work God's way. And so if we have a Sunday school teacher, he'd qualify as a minister. If we have a garbage truck delivery man who's preaching God's gospel, we have a minister. If we have Luke, who was a doctor and was also a preacher, he wrote a gospel, we have a minister. And so I want to make sure we're not keeping boundaries. Okay, that's for pastorate role and not applied to me. No, we're talking about saved individuals who are working and are doing what God wants them to do. So let's turn over to Hebrews 11. I'm going to show you this in Hebrews 11. It's a very well-known passage. Hebrews 11. Verse 6. It's a well-known verse, and I went over this recently with the bus kids, so it's been on my heart and mind frequently. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I had a great time teaching on this on the bus, and I'd go back and forth with the bus kids. I said, okay, so if we don't have faith, if God says it's impossible to please him without faith, and I went through and was showing how the reason we're here on earth is to please God. We see that in Revelation and in Ecclesiastes, two separate verses that talk about how we were made for his pleasure. And so I said, if the whole reason we exist here on earth is to please God, and it says without faith it's impossible to please him, how important is faith? And they go, oh, that's very important. I go, what'd you say? And they go, that's very important. I'm like, okay, that's great. Now I hear you. Making sure everyone understood and was getting what was the Bible was saying. And so that's on my mind as I'm going through this. But I want to focus in on the fact that we not only need to come to him in the aspect of faith, believing he is who he says he is, must believe that he is, but also that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Very interesting that he makes that in the prerequisite statement for pleasing God. It's easy for us to get the mindset of, okay, I have to do things a certain way, and otherwise God's going to come down and he's going to punish me. You know, he's going to take me out right then and there. Well, yes, there is punishment. Yes, there's rewards, but God doesn't want us to be on the mindset of a game warden where you're worried about whether you can bag the game with getting away with something. He's not wanting us to approach him with the mindset of a police officer while we're speeding and we're looking, making sure we can, we're good to go that extra 20 over in this certain section, and then we'll do right. You know, that's not the attitude God wants to approach us to approach him with. Yes, there is the aspect of when we do wrong, there will be punishment. He wants to love us and correct us and direct us in the right way. But he also wants us to approach him with the attitude of, hey, if I work, if I put in time, if I'm having fellowship with him, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to, he rewarded that. He rewards that. And he wants us to approach him in the aspect of looking at him as a kind and loving father. He doesn't want us to view him as the judicial judge of the universe just to set right the wrongs. He also wants us to view him as our loving father that wants to reward us for the good deeds that we do for him. And he wants us to have that right mindset. So, having stated that, we have abilities that God gives us. He expects us to invest them properly. So, in throughout Hebrews 11, we have the Hall of Faith, as we like to call it. We have Noah, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as of yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So Noah was in an area that it hadn't rained. We know that from Genesis. Noah was in an area where they didn't have to deal with boats. They didn't have to mess with that. But when God put on his heart and he says, this is my will that you build an ark to save. Imagine if Noah did what we like to do. That's a bit difficult. No, I think I'll put that off. I got other stuff to do. Imagine if he came up with a reasonable explanation and said, but Lord, if I start building an ark, imagine how many tracks that I'm passing out. I won't be able to do that. I won't be able to leave it on the cave doors like I need to all around in the areas. just imagine how much that time it'll cut away. And Lord, you know I need to take care of my family. You know I'm supposed to do these things. You know I'm supposed to help. And I'm supposed to be a godly influence to these people. If you take me away and have me build an ark, just imagine the lack of things that I can do. But Noah did not do that. He had faith. He believed in God. And so God gives, it's reasonably stated that God gave Noah the ability to build the ark. It's reasonable to say God gave him the knowledge and the information he needed to be able to do what he needed to do. And so when God says, it's time, I need you to do this task, that was an opportunity that God put before Noah. I can only imagine how different our Bibles would be if Noah refused. I could only imagine how different things would be if Noah had rejected, even though he was mostly right, if he was stubborn in this one area, how much that would change things in the Bible. And so Noah was not a full-time preacher. You know, obviously he had other things to take care of. We go through, we see Abraham. He wandered around. We see Sarah, his wife, all these people. Very few of them can be considered full-time pastors as far as people who are put in the Hall of Faith. And God says, these are people that I want you to take note of. Very few of them are full-time pastors. But all of them took the opportunity that God gave them. They did what they were supposed to do. And in their situation, they pleased God. Just before verse 6, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And that gives us the explanation, verse 6, of how we are to please God. And that we need faith, we need to believe he is who he says he is, and that we need to believe he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so, setting this stage to understand what these people have gone through, that's what I'm trying to help with. Abraham didn't know where he was going. He didn't know the direction he was going. God told him, it's time to get up from your family and move. I could only imagine some of the conversations he had with his wife about that and some of the situations they went through. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know how the financial situation would be and to where he was going. He didn't know if they still sold camels in the area he was going to. You know, there's all sorts of unknown factors that he's dealing with, but that wasn't going to break his relationship with God to say, no, I'm going to do it my way. He was given an opportunity, and he took it because he knew God was faithful. So having faith in God, understanding God is who he says he is, can help us in taking those opportunities, in knowing God is good, that God wants us to do what is right, and the opportunities that he gives us to do what is right is for a reason, no matter what kind of afflictions they bring. Let's go over to Lamentations, just to enunciate this point. Lamentations, and I think it's chapter 3 here. Yeah. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 32. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 32. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. This isn't what he's gunning for. This isn't what he's after. He's not after us to destroy us. He's not after us to make our life difficult. He's not throwing tests at us so that way we'll fail and he'll be able to point us out and say, see, you failed. That's not what God's about. That's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to help us to grow and help us to do right. So when we face these opportunities that God gives us to witness, to do something right, to do something out of our comfort zone, we should take them. It's easy for us to have the mindset of, okay, I am a Sunday school teacher, or I'm a bus driver, or I'm a pastor, and I can't change roles to take care of something else. Or I can't help them because of this, that, or the other. That should be someone else's job. If God's laying something on our heart, we need to deal with it, and we need to take care of it. There have been many people who have changed jobs from a layman to a pastor, and there's been people who have changed from a pastor to a layman. God can use us in either position, but the difference is whether or not we are usable by him. Are we refusing his will? Are we obeying what he wants us to do? Lamentations just really nails it down. Verse 33, for he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. He's not after us. He's wanting us to grow. He doesn't punish us out of glee. He doesn't punish us with a big smile on his face and go, this is going to hurt you so bad. You know, that's not the attitude God takes towards us. He does so. The book of Lamentations is in the context of Israel having disobeyed God for years and years and years. And in Jeremiah, I went through it here recently, it talks about how the people were still proud. They still refused to obey God, even to this extent where they were out of their land and they disobeyed God. The remnant that was left in Judah disobeyed God and went to Egypt. And then in Egypt, Jeremiah spoke to them. And he said along the lines of, this is what you're doing wrong. You need to go back to Judah and you're offering incense unto idols, and your wives are offering incense unto idols. And it says that all the people that knew that their wives had offered incense unto idols, that they responded to Jeremiah. They said, the thing that you said that we should do according to the Lord's name, yeah, we're not going to do that. We don't want to do that. Nope, not us. But if you tell us to do something, offer incense to the Queen of Heaven, that they were offering incense unto their false god, little g, then yeah, we'll totally obey you. I mean, we respect you as a person. Don't get us wrong, Jeremiah. I mean, you're a great guy, and we understand you're nice and everything, but that's too extreme for us, you know. Offering, worshiping God alone, leaving off our incense unto the idols, come on. Remember back in the land where we were at, they made the statement that when we were in Israel and Judah, and we offered incense, then were things well, and we had full to eat, and it was all so great. But they're putting the cart before the horse. They didn't realize that was the very reason that they were kicked out of the land. And it's just seemed like looking like a teenager or a two-year-old going on about how things should only go their way. And oftentimes when we refuse God, we have that mindset. We have that mindset of, no, see, when I was doing things my way, things were so much better. And that's when we have a mistaken mindset. When we're thinking that what we do above God's will is going to give us peace and rest. No matter if God's will brings us through trials, no matter if God's will brings us through hard times, through a difficult test, we know that God has it there for a reason. In Hebrews, you just think of different individuals like Rahab the harlot. I mean, you want to think of someone who is unexpected to show up here. You know, yeah, okay. I mean, she did what was right in a difficult situation. But if you were to try and put yourself in her shoes, you're a foreign country, and you've heard that God has decimated nations that go against Israel. You've heard of how no one can stand in their way. And I'd say she's spiritually weak because of the decisions that she's made in her life. She's at the very least spiritually weak. And she came to a point where God gave her an opportunity where she could hide the spies and possibly suffer because of it. Or she could just do what anyone else does and look the other way while they run past, trying to shoo them away, trying not to get involved. But God gave her an opportunity, one that could completely destroy her home, one that could completely ruin her livelihood, ruin any chance she had to continue living. But she took the opportunity God gave her because of faith. That's why she's here in Hebrews 11. Because she had faith that God was bigger than her circumstances, that God was more powerful than the enemies, and that God was more able to deliver and strengthen than any pill we could take. And so God gives us opportunities. He gives us natural abilities, and we need to use those correctly. We need to invest them correctly. God also gives us disabilities. Paul speaks of the fact that he had his thorn in the flesh, where he couldn't do certain things. We don't know exactly what that thorn of the flesh is. We have a guess. But just sticking with Scripture, Paul said that when I am weak, then am I strong. It's that same aspect of faith, believing God is who he says he is. If God's strong enough, powerful enough to create the entire universe, he is certainly powerful and strong enough to work through little us. He's certainly powerful enough to cause great change out of a little no one, to cause entire nations to change through few individuals. You know, we think of in the epistles where it talks about how these Christians have turned the world upside down. You know, they say it in indignation. You know, this is just a handful of believers that God was using and directing, so much so that everyone was changing their mind about Christ. Everyone was understanding that Christ died for their sins, and they wanted that personal relationship. They wanted that fellowship with God when they realized just how loving and kind God was, and the judgment that they would face for what they have done. So God gives us abilities, he gives us disabilities, and he gives us opportunities. We can see all through Hebrews different opportunities people were given. Joseph, you talk about a man who was put through the fire. You know, Joseph is my mom's favorite Bible character. She loves the attitude that he had. And one of the things that my mom often reminded me of is he didn't have his Bible. He didn't have the encouragement that we have through God's word. He didn't have the promises of Christ. He didn't even have a complete Old Testament. Yet he counted God faithful. He knew that God would deliver. He knew God's character. He had fellowship with God. And if we have the entire Bible, we have the history of what Christ went through us, we have a personal salvation, we have God's shown deliverance in our personal lives where he has changed, completely changed things over, and yet we still want to refuse God when he gives us those opportunities. We still tell him, no, I want to do it my way. How guilty we are. How guilty we are as individuals. When we have all these examples, all this help, all this strengthening through God's word, the problem lies in where we don't seek God's word. The problem lies in where we aren't using the resources God has given us. And when we're not spending that time in prayer, when we're not treating God seriously. So my charge tonight to you is, what are you doing with the abilities God has given you? Are you letting the disabilities hold you back? And are you taking every opportunity God has given you and using it for his glory? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd please help us to treat you seriously, to do what is right, Lord, and to honor you through everything that you give us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take the opportunities that you give us, Lord. It's so easy to be lazy, to push things away, and to not do what you would have us to do, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd please forgive us for this heart of laziness, this heart of unfaithfulness, untrusting in your word, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd please be with us as a church and me as an individual, Lord, to do what is right and to be pleasing in your eyes, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.